It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Better late than never, I trust, I hope. Here we are. It is the 30th day of May, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. I'm a little late to air because I've been running like a chicken with her head cut off for about something north of 48 hours now. And I can say that right now the briskets are in their sixth hour on the smoker. And in fact, here in a little bit, I'm going to go and check them. This is going to be a shortened program because as soon as I'm done with the briskets, well, then the pork butts go on, and then comes the turkey, and then come the ribs, and then comes the pork loin and the salmon, and yeah, there's a lot of cooking going on here for the Horn Inn, so I hope those of you who are coming are going to bring a tremendous appetite. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Memorial Day, Morin Monday, and wow. Well, we'll get to everything, but kind of sad when Memorial Day, and well, I mean, it's always on a Monday, and so was Morin Monday, and there is a sad, a sad interconnectivity with the two. Pardon the sound of the airplane hangar in the background. I can tell you it is a it's a refreshing 93 degrees in the studio right now. It's actually hotter in here than it is outside, and it's plenty hot outside. I spent the last couple of days outside running around, getting things ready to cook and ready to roll. And let's see, this evening, while the smoker continues to smoke, I will be doing up the pimento cheese. I've got the makings for some beautiful stuffed jalapenos. All the little trimmings and stuff are going to be there. Annette and I are terribly excited about the whole thing. I think we're all going to have a wonderful time. And as I predicted, whatever else I don't get right, I got this right. The weather is going to be perfect. Probably not a cloud in the sky. So we've got that going for us, which is good. First really good warm day like this, I always have to learn the hard way, or be reminded the hard way, that I have very, very, very fair skin. And so, you know, the problem with it's a mathematical problem, not so much a physics or a chemistry problem. It's a mathematics problem. Sunblock provides you X number times your natural resistance to the sun. And so if you've got SPF 50, it's 50 times your natural resistance to the sun. But we all know from our basic mathematics that multiplying zeros always results in zero. So even though I had on shirt, I got burnt, and I'm still burnt, and I'm going to keep getting burnt. But that's okay. That's okay. Let's see. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So what does that mean? Well, that means that thanks go out this 30th day of May to our 30th of May, 29th of May, and 28th of May contributors, supporters. And in this case, we say thank you. To Dana. Thank you, Dana. Dana jumped in over the weekend. Thank you to Balmer Bob for last week's, last Friday's challenge. Thank you to Suman. Thank you to Sharon. Thank you to Randy in PA. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you all, and thank you for reaching out and matching the challenges that that came in. So the bottom line is we now have, I think, $700 and some to actually finish March in fully funded. That's a lot better than April was, because we were north of $1,000 trying to finish April. But we can finish March with, we'll just call it $700. So that's two shows plus $10. Or so. I mean, plus $100. There we go. Math. Bad. Me. So we'll see. We'll see where the conversation takes us. We get started. Deal, no deal. Joey's Journal. And yesterday, Junior thought he was watching a rerun of Police Academy 2. It was truly sad and pathetic, and Jeffrey had to explain to Junior that what he was watching was real. Junior explains, "I was watching this very funny movie this weekend where the cops looked like a bunch of buffoons. The movie reminded me of the show Reno 911, too. Upon hearing there was a radio call for an active shooter at the local elementary school, the local cops race to the school, and instead of immediately entering the facility to save the children, the cops stop and take selfies and make a TikTok video." March? Did I say March? May? Sorry, Ralphs. No, this is May. Like I said, I'm a little crazy from the heat in here. But, you know, anyway. Tired too. Never mind. We'll be. Jeffrey tries to stop Junior. Junior, that was. "Yeah, the parents began showing up and started yelling and screaming at the police that they needed to enter the building and save the children from the gunman. Then the idiot officers become angry and start yelling back at the parents to shut up because they're interrupting the making of the TikTok video."
Junior, this was not a movie that you were watching, but rather, Junior, this was a real...
"Then when the parents become righteously indignant, exasperated at the lack of police action, and some of the parents try to rush into the building to rescue their children, the police began pepper spraying, stun gunning, and handcuffing the parents instead of making an attempt to enter the building to pepper spray, stun gun, and handcuff the shooter."
Junior, you were not watching a movie.
"Then some of the parents storm the school and rescue their children, and when they come out, the police are standing around with their phones trying to take pictures with the rescued children in an attempt to make it look like the police were the ones who actually rescued the children. So much for the good guys with a gun theory. As it turns out, these so-called good guys were the bad guys, as these cowards wouldn't do their jobs."
Junior, this is not a movie, but actually very close to what really happened in a place called Uvalde, Texas. And to hear Ted Cancun Cruz come out and state that only a good guy with a gun will stop a bad guy is one of the dumbest statements a Harvard grad has ever made.
How easily we forget George W. Bush.
Then Ted Cruz went on to explain his one-door theory that I know he did not learn at Harvard. Cruz claims a school full of dozens of children should only have one door to ingress and egress for the entire building. But I digress. Obviously, Ted, the Cancun cruise is not familiar with the incident that took place back in 2003, just an hour south of Harvard in Warwick, Rhode Island. It was a war-wicked event that killed 100 people at a Great White concert when most of the audience, realizing there was a fire, tried to escape out of one door and didn't make it to safety. Now you'd think that somebody such as Cancun Cruise would realize there are regulations in place that would never allow only one ingress and egress from a building, as that would be considered a serious fire hazard.
Oh, look, it's Joey, too. I don't know. Jeffrey, Texas prides itself in not being regulated, and they may not have any regulations. This is part of the reason that Texas ran out of heating oil last year. This would never happen in Australia. We have strict regulations.
Cruz is an absolute embarrassment to Harvard, and police of Uvalde, Texas, are an embarrassment to all police forces. The police force of Uvalde, instead of Uvalde 911, should be known as Uvalde 9-none-none, because the police in Uvalde were a no-show last week when the people needed them most. So, Ted, so much for a good guy with a gun, you dumbass.
Well, thank you, Three, for your insightful analysis. Great job. I personally was appalled, Joey says, at the behavior of Mayor Maggot of Uvalde for yelling at and cussing out Beto for confronting the good guy with a gun, Governor Asspot, Dan Patrick, Lieutenant Governor Asspot and Dan Patrick. The mayor called the press conference a deal. No, Mayor Maggot, a deal is when somebody gets together for a poker game or to watch the football game, not when your town's holding a press conference after 21 people have been shot to death. That's not a deal, dumbass. Speaking of Uvalde, some famous people are originally from there, including Dale Evans, spouse of Roy Rogers, actor Matthew McConaughey, and former FDR Vice President John Nance Garner, who was Vice President from 1933 to 1941. John Nance Garner was born on November 22, 1868, and actually lived long enough to watch his birth date become a horrible footnote in U.S. history. Nance lived until November of 1967 and died just 2 weeks short of his 99th birthday. There was another Democratic Vice President from Texas. That was LBJ. LBJ was not born on November 22nd, but the birth of his presidency was, and that, of course, was the day John F. Kennedy died, November 22, 1963. Speaking of a person that has lived late into their 90s and attended Harvard last week, Henry Kissinger turned 99. Kissinger actually attended Harvard and was on the Harvard board for 15 years, from 1954 to 1969. This is a good time to remind folks that evil is a preservative. Jeffrey's disgusted
to think people are criticizing Harvard for allowing a giraffe to attend Harvard when both ignominious figures such as Kissinger and Cruz matriculated through the great institution is the height of hypocrisy. Ah, Jeffrey the giraffe, I'm a political animal, but Kissinger and Cruz are just animals with their individual disgusting behaviors currently and of the past.
Well, can't argue with that point, Jeffrey. No, and people were lauding American Pie artist Don McLean because he decided to forego the NRA convention in light of the shooting in Uvalde. These people should have been criticizing McLean for taking the offer in the first place. I alluded to that last week. What's the matter, McLean? Aren't the residuals from the song enough anymore for you? Well, Don McLean, do you mean the residual financial slice of the American Pie isn't enough for you? You had to debase yourself and your brand for a few lousy dollars from the NRA?
Yeah, shame on you, Don McLean, for even signing up and planning on performing at that deal in the first place. And the city of Houston should have told the NRA no deal after the Uvalde.
And the city of Houston didn't have that power. Oh, and by the way, not only did Don McLean bow out, so too did, of all people, Lee Greenwood. Imagine that. Apparently he has some teeny tiny amount of shame, so that he just didn't feel comfortable standing on the stage in Houston talking about how proud he is being American, where at least he knows I'm free, where the cops stand around and wait for somebody to bring the key. Made that up on the fly. This has been Joey's Journal for the 30th day of May, Memorial Day 2022, with Giraffe honoring all those great veterans that we lost while serving this country. And there's a $100 no-deal challenge on the table, so if that gets met, we'll only have $500 to go to finish the month of May in good form. Program note, it was a little rough trying to get on the air this evening. I imagine tomorrow's going to be every bit as hot, and I'm going to be every bit as busy, so it would be nice to, well, I don't know. But there's no way, there is absolutely no way there's going to be a program on Wednesday. Just no way. I'll try to get in here for an hour or so tomorrow evening, maybe. But hopefully that challenge will be met. Thank you for the challenge, Joey, and Giraffe, and Junior, and Sherry, too. Thank you very kindly indeed. You know, I hope everybody has had a good weekend. Memorial Day, remember, is not, I mean, although if I check my notifications, Memorial Day is a day to shop for sandals and a swimsuit and sunglasses and mattresses. I wonder, you know, I was just thinking about this earlier. Tell me what you think. I know we as Americans are not very good at concerted action. But on something like, I'll say Memorial Day, a day to honor, a day to remember the honored fallen dead, you know, this isn't Veterans Day, which is a day that honors everybody who ever served in the armed forces. This is Memorial Day, a day for remembering people who died in war. And I noticed a mention, and is this an official thing? Somebody needs to, I need to know from somebody in the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. Is it a new thing now that Memorial Day is also repurposed to honor fallen first responders? I missed the memo when that got folded in, but I mean, I heard somebody say that. But like what I was saying a minute ago, we're not very good at concerted action. But do you think we might be able to maybe reach an understanding? Well, we don't have the kind of money for an advertising campaign, or, but how about no commercial? How about you know, as rational actors, as consumers, as participants in the great free market miracle that is Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on Earth now, today, forever, in the universe under God, amen. Could we agree that maybe this is not the best weekend to have a mattress sale or a car sale or any kind of sales? I had to run some errands earlier today. Every time I go to the grocery store, I remember something that I didn't remember when I come back. But I looped through the cemetery up the road from here and just stopped a minute and took a moment of, well, silence at the grave of my father's brother, who died in France in 1944. He lasted about a month once he got in country. Sadly, I'd love to know more, but there was a horrible, horrible fire at a military records center, and it's become infamous over the years, in the St. Louis, Missouri area. And so everything I ever could have found out about my uncle's life and death, the circumstances thereof, went up in a puff of smoke. But I did. I stopped, and I remembered. I took a moment to just sort of carry his memory forward in my own. I've got this weird little thing. I'm not a religious person, but I think that memory is eternity. I think as long as you're being remembered by someone, that maybe you're, I don't know, your whatever your spiritual essence is somehow perpetuated. Years and years and years ago, my my dad told me that I acted so much like his big brother as I was growing up that it was actually kind of unnerving. So he's always had a special place in my memory, even though I never knew him. But I stopped up there. And he'd actually been buried in France for a couple of years when they dug him up and brought him back to West Virginia. And so, you know, it's always been my understanding that that was who Memorial Day was, you know, for. So I tried to be contemplative. And I tried to think about well, how he left here, knowing he might never come back, and didn't. And so there are little flags all over the cemetery up there. There was one on my grandfather's grave. He didn't die in battle. He was a doughboy in the First World War. That's just an observation. That's all. Nothing particularly earth-shattering. But it all leads toward another idea. I asked if actually Memorial Day has been expanded to include first responders who die in service. And I ask that because maybe it's time to include the victims of America's undeclared Civil War. Maybe it's time we folded the kids from Uvalde and Sandy Hook and Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School and the Tops supermarket in Buffalo and the King Super in Colorado and the... You get the idea. Because, well, they certainly were victims of an undeclared war. And in point of fact, over the course of this so-called holiday weekend, this Memorial weekend, according to the Washington Post, there have been at least 14 mass shootings across the United States since last Tuesday. They happen in places like California and Arizona and Tennessee. Chattanooga, Tennessee, there was apparently a shootout between a couple of people who didn't like each other in the downtown, the recreational or party district. At least 7 people have been killed. 49 people at least have been wounded or maimed. Most of the people who got shot in Chattanooga were literally innocent bystanders. Jesus. Since Uvalde happened last Tuesday, at least 10 people have been killed, 61 injured. And, well, how do we remember them? Because it seems not quite okay to just, oh well. And people like Fred Gutenberg try to maintain the memory of his daughter killed in Parkland. And he is routinely and regularly reviled for his efforts by the scum of the earth over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Because he dares to point out the fact that his beloved little girl would still be here if it were not for easy access to firearms. And speaking of easy access to firearms, well, Daniel Defense. I mentioned on Friday that they had bailed out of the NRA convention. Oh, they are some seriously good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Republicans. They are, absolutely. And they're kind of heavy hitters in Republican politics. They They give a lot of money away. A lot of money. And of course they give it largely or almost exclusively to Republicans. It was a Daniel Defense firearm, and they're pricey. As Roger noted in Friday's conversation, it was a Daniel Defense weapon that Salvador Ramos used when he decided to massacre children. The New York Times described Daniel Defense in Georgia as a company known for pushing boundaries. At one point in time on their homepage after Uvalde, they had the obligatory tots and pears post up. When that pop-up went away, the next thing one saw was a promotional announcement for gold-plated bullets and a sweepstakes to win $15,000 worth of guns or ammo. And they use imagery similar to Call of Duty and Star Wars, Santa Claus. And they sell direct to people. Marty Daniel is the head monster there at Daniel Defense. New York Times describes him as a provocateur who ridicules gun control proposals and uses publicity stunts to drum up sales. Ryan Bussey is a former executive at Kimber, another gun manufacturer, and he's become a critic of the gun industry. He said Daniel Defense is basically the poster child of this egregious aggressive marketing. Marty Daniel burst in the door a lot louder and more brazen than other gun makers, much like Donald Trump did on the political scene. Through this company, you are telling the story of how the gun industry has become increasingly radicalized, and their sales have skyrocketed over the last few years. The most that they would, that Daniel Defense would say to the New York Times was to trot out a spokes creep by the name of Steve Reed, who said, "We're deeply saddened by the shooting in Uvalde." Wow. He and I were born in the same year, Marty Daniel. He is folksy. He talks about how he flunked out of Georgia Southern University. Not once, but twice. And then he started a company that made garage doors. But he went from garage doors to engines of death. He said he started making guns because he was shitty at golf. Well, I was shitty at golf, so I transitioned. He decided to make things that would kill children. Somehow, contrary to Republican popular opinion, I don't think I'm the bad person. I don't think I made the wrong choice. So in 2002, in Orlando, at a gun show, a representative of U.S. Special Forces approached him, and Marty Daniel got a $20 million contract from Uncle Sugar to make accessories for combat rifles. By 2008, he was taking contracts from Mother England. And then in 2009, they went pro. That is to say, they started making guns for the consumer market. Their advertising slogan, and this kind of puts the lie to the well, their advertising slogan was to bray about how what they did relative to military firearms, and their slogan was, use what they use. And they've got, they had an ad that showed a military-style scope aiming at passing cars on a city street. Yeah. Senior Vice President at Everytown for Gun Safety, Nick Saplina, said companies like Daniel Defense glorify violence and war in their marketing to consumers. Well, war is good business. I've mentioned from time to time someone who is an absolutely brilliant content creator on YouTube. Her name is Natalie Wynn. Her channel is called ContraPoints. She is, beyond a shadow of a doubt, brilliant. And her latest video, which dropped over the weekend, almost an hour long, impeccably produced, begins with the right-wing host of a program called the Freedom Pod asking, war, what is it good for? Absolutely everything. Daniel Defense has had ads that show children carrying and firing guns. 2 days after Christmas last year, they had an image that showed Santa Claus wearing a military helmet, smoking a cigar, and holding a rifle by Daniel Defense. The caption says, after a long weekend, Santa is enjoying MK-18 Monday. That's the model of the gun. Mm-hmm. Well, time to sue them into oblivion. And I know it'll give Republicans a terrible, terrible, terrible sad. And somebody will come along and just pick up the slack, I guess. It is said that there is a bipartisan group of senators talking about some sort of common sense gun reform. And they're talking about hardening schools, and Republicans are grunting around that maybe they could be supportive of a little bit of mental health help. Because it turns out there were warning signs about Salvatore Ramos all over the place, and nobody noticed. Well, I mean, people noticed, but nobody did anything about what was noticed. And Greg Asbot of Texas announced after I observed last week that there will be no mental health help because it's Texas and that'd be communism. And lo and behold, Greg Asbot announced that anybody who needs mental health after Uvalde can get it for free. Call this here toll-free number. Shit, are you going to cover the whole country, Greg? I don't think so. But here we are. I said that there were plenty of warning signs about Salvatore Ramos. Oh, yeah. Let's see. There was the rape threat. As he told girls that he would rape them and showed off his rifle and threatened to shoot up schools in live streams on a social media app called Yubo. And some girls actually reported him to Yubo. And Yubo's algorithm, well, who knows? But there, yeah, as I predicted, yeah, Salvatore Ramos was, he was an incel. I mean, he certainly checks off all the boxes. And according to Agence France-Presse, he acted alone Although I don't know how alone he acted when you considered that he didn't build that rifle himself. And Eric Estrada, no, really, of the Texas Department of Public Safety, said the first incident was at their grandmother's residence where he shot the grandmother. Well, thank you for that, Sherlock Holmes. Grandma was airlifted to a medical facility. On and on and on. And it turns out that the real villain of this piece appears to be, I mean, there's plenty of villains. Once you get past Salvatore Ramos, you have to start sorting them out and putting them in order. And the chief of the Uvalde Police Department appears to be way up toward the top of the list. You know, the will circle back guy. Yeah. He's the one who made the call to basically have the cops stand around in the parking lot taking selfies and TikTok videos and listening to children die inside. Roland Gutierrez is the state senator in the Texas Senate for the area of which Uvalde is a part. And while Greg Asbot was having himself a little press conference, Senator Gutierrez had something to say.
So, it's my understanding that ever
this
since
is Greg
Texas
Asbot.
Has been a state, an 18-year-old has had the ability to buy a long gun, a rifle. Right. And since that time, it seems like it's only been in the past decade or two that we've had school shootings. So for a century and a half, 18-year-olds could buy rifles, and we didn't have school shootings, but we do now. Maybe we're focusing our attention on the wrong thing, and we're focusing it on...
I'm not doing a political thing. My colleagues are asking for a special session. You're getting a letter tomorrow. We're talking to the Senate Democratic Caucus. We've asked for gun control changes. I'm asking you now to bring this back in 3 weeks. I apologize for interrupting your press conference about the needs of this community. I've been here for 3 days with all of these elected officials. This county judge has worked his ass off. Mayors and city council people. I don't know how to express the loss of the families that I've talked to. And I know you need to have to do something, man. Your own colleagues are calling me an 18-year-old should have a go. This is enough. Call us back, man.
Just call us back.
Next question. I can't hear you.
Governor, was the chief...
Speak up.
On that earlier question about the Uvalde Consolidated School District, the Chief Pete Arredondo, are you specifically investigating him? What is the status of his employment? Has he been stood down under investigation?
Sure. I was unable to hear the first part of your question. Would you restate it?
On the school's police chief, Pete Arredondo, the gentleman who stopped police going in earlier, is he specifically under investigation, and what is the status of his employment? Has he been stood down pending investigation? What is the situation?
Okay. So every act by every official involved in this entire process is under the investigation conducted both by the Texas Rangers and by the FBI. Every act of all of those officials will be known and identified and explained to the public. But I cannot overemphasize enough, we need to get that information
enough
to the families of all these victims. who deserve to know it the most.
As I said before this started, we're going to jump out and provide fact-checking when that's needed.
Yeah, okay, Nicole. Much ado. Actually, it's much nothing about ado. Lord God, this is disgusting. So, they did manage to get a timeline out. They figured out that much of how this whole thing went down. The school district's police chief was in charge at Uvalde. Was under the impression that the kids were no longer in danger. He later said, that was the wrong decision. Yeah, we're talking about a guy named Stephen McCraw, head of the Texas Department of Public Safety. He's the one who put out the, well, he's not the school district police chief. He's the head of the Department of Public Safety in Texas, which is apparently not much good for anything either. You know, it's weird the way some of these things play on your mind. In the course of, you know, I had to go, I'm particularly fond of a particular brand of charcoal. I've just had really good luck with it over the years. Walmart quit carrying it. So I had to toddle over to Rural King, where you can buy lots of guns, and I toddled through the gun department just to make sure that they had a healthy supply, well, okay, a deadly supply of military-style assault rifles, and they did, ranging anywhere from around $500-$600 to whatever you want to spend. But I went there because they carry my brand of charcoal. It's a brand called B&B. No idea, but it burns really well. It burns long. It's very well made. But when I got it home and got ready to fire up the smoker this morning, I went to open the bag and I noticed that that printed on the bag. And understand, this is on me. This isn't on that company. And my apologies to my dear friends in Texas and all the good, decent, liberal, and democratic, and progressive people in Texas. But the response I had when I read these two words was I just felt creeped out. Because printed on that bag of charcoal is the words Texas style. And it left me wondering what that actually means. Texas style. Does it mean my bag of charcoal will stand around while people are being blown away? I mean, it's inanimate. It's probably going to do nothing more than just stand around under any circumstance. And I'm trying to figure out if that's a commentary on the bag of charcoal or on the Uvalde Police Department. So, at 11:27 a.m., video footage shows a teacher at Robb Elementary School propping open an exterior door, and that's the door that Ramos went through. 11:28 a.m., Ramos' vehicle crashes near the school. Teacher ran back to a classroom to get a phone and came back to the door, allowing it to remain open. Two men at a nearby funeral home made their way to the crash scene, where they saw Ramos exit the vehicle from the passenger side with a gun and a backpack. And the witnesses reportedly began running, and Ramos took a couple of shots at them. The 911 call center at 11:30 a.m. got a call that there was a man who had crashed his vehicle and has a gun. 11:31 a.m., he reaches the last row of vehicles in the school parking lot. Remember, the police department is 1 mile from Robb Elementary. Once he gets to the last row of vehicles in the school parking lot, he starts shooting at the school. The cops, meanwhile, went to the funeral home. They were early. At 11:32, he fired multiple shots at the school from outside and then went in the building. By 11:33, he was shooting inside the classroom. And according to McCraw, he says the audio from the video footage shows him shooting over 100 rounds. 11:35, three cops went into the school through the same doors. There was no need for a key. Four more officers joined in. He squeezed off a few rounds at the first three. Some were grazed. And then Ramos shut the door to the classroom. 2 minutes later at 11:37 a.m., 16 rounds are heard to be fired. 11:51, wait, that's 10, 14 minutes later, you get more cops. And if it wasn't bad before, it's awful now. At 12:03 p.m., there are 19 cops standing in the hallway outside the classroom. And they all thought it was a barricaded person call now instead of an active shooter. There was a less than 90 second phone call from a female to the cops. She gave her name and said she was in classroom 112. Oh, dear God. 7 minutes later, the caller tells 911 that multiple people are dead. The same female calls at 12:13. At 12:15, technicians arrive with shields. A female calls 911 again at 12:16, saying 8 to 9 students are still alive. A person in room 111 called at 12:19, 3 minutes later. She hung up when another student told her to hang up. 2 minutes later, Ramos fired more shots at the door, so the cops ran away. A 911 call provides the audio of three of those shots. 12:36 p.m., 15 minutes later, there's a 21-second 911 call. A student was on the line. She was quiet. McCraw said she told 911 that he shot the door. Please send the police now. The poor baby had no idea that 19 good-for-nothing useless cops had been standing in the hallway until they shit themselves and ran away. Ten minutes later, another student calls 911 and says she can hear the police next door. 4 minutes later, 12:50 p.m., the cops finally breached the door because they found the janitor and he gave them the keys to the door. I don't think any of us will ever watch an old cop show again where some hyper-masculine butch cop takes his hyper-masculine butch cop boots and kicks in the door. Or I don't know, takes out a pistol and shoots the doorknob off, because it's obvious they don't do that. And at 12:51 p.m., there was a loud 911 call that sounded like officers were moving children out of the room. Jesus Christ. From 11:27 to 12:51. 1 hour and 24 minutes. And there are already hoots and hollers and grunts and groans about how we've got to increase police funding in this country. We've got to harden our schools. Have these dumbasses never figured out that once you've hardened all the schools... You harden all the schools, the shooters are just going to go shoot somewhere else. I don't know why this is so goddamn difficult to comprehend. But it apparently is past the ability of certain people to comprehend. And poor Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, seems to think he won't be free anymore unless everybody in Texas can get a gun. So fucking angry with all of this that you are And, well, there's another group of people who are angry. Take, for instance, Guy Schwartz. Guy Schwartz is a father of two and a lifelong member of the National Rifle Association. And I mean to tell you, howdy-do, he was so excited he was going to go to the NRA convention in Houston because the pandemic had kept the gun humpers from getting together and gun humping together for 2 years. Guy Schwartz is 67 years old. He's an insurance broker in Vegas.
He said, "It is just unimaginable. I couldn't imagine sending my kids to school and then not coming home."
He was interviewed at the NRA convention, Guy Schwartz was. He was interviewed while he was looking longingly at a display of new assault rifles. And he said, "Well, every time we have a whack job that shoots up people, it puts us under stress." Guy Schwartz is under stress because he might not be able to hump a new AR-15. Oh. And so Uvalde or no Uvalde, and sadly there's a Uvalde, and we all know it. Some of us have learned how to correctly pronounce it. Hi, I'm Robin. Uvalde or no Uvalde, still thousands of National Rubel Association gun humpers descended onto Houston. And, of course, Nitwit Nero showed up and speechified before those thousands of assembled grunters and hooters and barkers and humpers. And the Texas Tribune sent a reporter down there to do some interviewing. And all those NRA members were just horrified. Even though Salvatore Ramos was a lawful gun owner, children, yes. But as the report I'm looking at from the Texas Tribune points out, they were also unified in their belief that the shooter's access to guns was not to blame. What was to blame then? Well, if you ask the gun humpers, as the Texas Tribune did, the gun humpers sadly informed the reporter that it's because of the breakdown in society, because we done tooken God out of the public schools, and we ain't got no more two-parent households. And we're soft on the criminals. We are the most imprisoned, developed, country in the world. Fully 1% or more of the population of the United States is behind bars. And by the way, they said, we got more mental illness too. The gun humpers are not the sharpest bunch in the world. Because, you see, rates of violence among people who have behavioral health issues are no higher than they are among people who don't. But they don't know that because, among the NRA membership, there's a whole bunch of Dunning-Kruger effect at work. They don't know what they don't know. Lyndon Boff is a 67-year-old retiree from Florida. He said, "Society's going downhill, and the problems are getting bigger and bigger. I hate that so many people got killed in this shooting." So many people. So, if it had been one or two kids, maybe Lyndon Boff wouldn't be so upset. But the first thing you have is a president that says we got to do something about it because it's guns that kill the people. No, it's their programs teaching children in school that our country's a bunch of crap. Well, Lyndon, could that maybe be the truth? Could we be really, really in a mess right now? Thanks to, in part, to people like you. But it was interesting. One of the things that the Texas Tribune reporters discovered was that there was a lot of overlap. There's a lot of overlap there between being paranoid about their guns and being paranoid about other things. Maybe that's the mental health problem we have. Right-wing paranoia. Goes all the way back to 1964 and Richard Hofstadter and the paranoid style in American politics. Bill Forscht is 71 years old. He's a retired management executive at the Coca-Cola Company. He lives in Magnolia, Texas, just outside Houston. All right. Oh, there's a great one. Colonel Bat Guano. In Dr. Strangelove, what, 1961, 1962? Standing there with Group Captain Mandrake. Group Captain Mandrake desperate to get some coins so he can place a call to the White House about Rogue General Jack D. Ripper and Wing Attack Plan R. But Group Captain Mandrake doesn't have enough coins to make a payphone call. Grandpa, what's a payphone? Ask your grandmother. Grandma, what's a payphone? I'll tell you when you're older. So he tells Group Captain Mandrake does to shoot the lock off the Coke machine. To which Colonel Bat Guano replies,
"Well, all right."
Played by Keenan Wynn. Oh my God, what a character actor.
"Well, all right. But if you're not who you say that you are, you're going to have to answer to the Coca-Cola Company."
So, Bill Forscht is a 71-year-old retired management executive at the Coca-Cola Company. He said, "It's not a gun problem. It's a society problem. They want to demonize us because we like shooting guns and believe in defending ourselves." Against what, Bill? I don't know. Maybe they got a point. The cops are certainly useless as tits on a boar hog. Useless as a kickstand on a submarine or a tank. Or a screen door on a submarine. Tax collectors in funny hats. Oh, I tell you what, it's going to be busy. Horn-in weekend is going to be busy, and we will be streaming, assuming that the hotel internet is up to snuff. We'll be streaming the Horn-in on Friday, as Annette asked me to remind everyone. So there will, at least in theory, be a live in-person Friday on the front porch on Friday. Really looking forward to that. Salvatore Ramos didn't have a particular hang-up for killing 71-year-old former management executives at the Coca-Cola Company. He had a long string of threats against girls. Not so much 71-year-old retired Coca-Cola executives. And maybe what amped up the paranoia a little bit was the fact that 1,000 protesters showed up at the NRA convention there at the convention center in Houston, and they were chanting things like, "Their blood is on your hands." I think the protesters were a little bit peeved. They called on the people going into the convention center to honor the sacrifice of our brave school children who lay down their lives to protect our right to use AR-15s. Then there was 53-year-old Anna. She said, "If you allow somebody to defend themselves the way our Second Amendment was intended, you'll stop a lot of this. Stop pussyfooting with these people." So, we're going to tell school teachers that they can't mention to a student that one of their other children has two mommies but we can arm them to the teeth and tell them, you know, if somebody starts shooting, you shoot back, okay? Never mind the carnage. And, of course, there will be no hazard pay. Oh, hell no. But like I said, their paranoia has overlap. When the Texas Tribune got there to the NRA convention, some of the NRA members, they were pissed about COVID. Well, they weren't so much pissed about COVID. They were, oh, Jesus, they were pissed about the vaccine. They were pissed that there are gay teachers in the classroom. They were pissed at social media. They were pissed at mentally ill people. They were pissed. And maybe that's part of the problem there. They've been made perpetually angry by the National Ruble Association, who has proven very good at what they do. Husband of 53-year-old Anna from Tennistan, who wants to give teachers guns, said, false flag. He said the Uvalde massacre was planned by people who support gun control to gin up. That's kind of a telling thing. I mean, yes, it's one person, but this was thousands of people in the convention center, and 68-year-old Paul was probably not alone, because, of course, false flag has been spread like, like a virus going back 10 years or more. Well, yeah. I remember in the aftermath of 9/11, false flag. And it tells you a little bit about just how monstrous they view the other side. I do not know a single individual who supports changes to our approach to firearms ownership in the United States who would ever even dare say out loud, let alone advocate for, murdering children to make the gun humpers look bad. The gun humpers just feel bad. And as with everything a maggot does, it's either confession or projection. There in the convention center, there was a seminar on how to quick draw. How to pull out your freedom protector as fast as possible. And the paranoia was ramped up. One vendor's ad showed a short-barreled automatic, semi-automatic rifle with the guy using it against a home invader. No mention in the ad of the fact that the muzzle velocity of that firearm will be sufficient to send that a stray bullet through two or three rooms, striking God knows who or what. Never mind. They had some helpful information, though, at the NRA convention. You know, it's a lot more fun when it's like after the CPAC convention and we can just sort of grin wryly at the stupidity of the right wing. No. But they had one semi-useful seminar, at least. How to stop blood loss from gunshot wounds to minimize deaths during mass shootings. Presenter Chris Sakra said that if you train average Americans how to stop blood loss from gunshot wounds, it can minimize the deaths during mass shootings. This is especially important when, like Uvalde, first responders can't or won't intervene. Chris Sakra said, each one of my girls has a ballistic plate in their backpack. Each one of my girls knows how to put a tourniquet on. Well, that's great. I guess. Imagine teaching military medic survival skills to a 7-year-old. I guess that's who we are, isn't it? Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, of course, did speak. He grunted a lot and talked in that sort of pinched little nasally voice that he has. And said evil caused the shooting in Uvalde. Evil. He said, it's happened too many damn times. The Second Amendment has never been more necessary. Because they are out there trying to defund the police. And we got prosecutors who won't prosecute violent crime. And then, as Joey alluded to, he made this stupid argument about single points of entry. At that single point of entry, we should have multiple armed police officers, or if need be, military veterans trained to provide security and keep our children safe. I hate to break it to you, Teddy, but young Mr. Ramos would have just shot them to hell, too. Because it would have been, and this is the important word, this is the operative word, an ambush. Yeah. Nitwit Nero said he didn't have any respect for Greg Asbot because Greg Asbot decided not to come down. He just sent a video instead. Protesters across the street, some of them, were there not only protesting, but grieving and mourning. Yeah, the superintendent of an A+ charter school in Houston a man named Paul Castro's son was murdered by a guy with a gun after they left an Astros baseball game in downtown Houston last year. Paul Castro said, it makes me mad that at the same politician saying the same thing that they've been saying since Columbine. Didn't have much regard for the idea of limited entrances and exits. He said, armed police were on the premises and didn't go in, and now you want Miss Smith in elementary school to take a shot? It's disingenuous and a lie, and it stops politicians from taking responsibility. It is hypocrisy at its worst. I guess Mr. Castro will not be voting for Greg Asbot or Dan Patrick or the indicted felon Ken Paxton or whenever they come up for re-election, John Cornholio or Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed booger-eating future king of America. You know, this comes back around, this loops back to something we've talked about before. Because the reason nothing has happened, I know, Nancy Pelosi is insufficiently ideologically pure, but doggone it, she has sent bill after bill after bill over to the Senate, where Moscow Mitch McConnell says, no. And so, consequently, probably nothing's going to come out of this slaughter either. I don't mean to be such a cynic, but it is a cynicism that is born of rather long experience. And like I said, if we want that to stop happening, there's a fairly simple approach. And that's this. if you are in Pennsylvania, if you are in Kentucky, if you are in Florida, if you are in North Carolina, if you are in Wisconsin or Iowa, Missouri, hell, Alabama. I mean, somebody won the Alabama primary on the Democratic side, didn't they? For the Senate seat being vacated by a guy who was originally elected as a Democrat and then became and then showed his true colors and became a traitor.
Richard Shelby, Tuscaloosa.
If you're in any of those states, vote for the Democratic nominee. And then maybe something will happen. There'll be maybe enough people to put pressure on Kyrsten Sinema and Joe to the Manchin Born. Maybe. And that's the only hope. If you put something resembling hope in the presently constituted Senate of the United States, well, I hope you never walk past anybody playing three-card Monte on a city street. You can get cleaned out. So, I mean, that's it. Vote like your lives depend upon it. Organize, organize, organize. Actually, we're not at organize. We're at mobilize. Because there's another Uvalde coming. Don't know where it is. Don't know where the NRA's roulette wheel of death is going to stop. But stop it will. And spin, it is spinning again. And look, even for the Republicans, if you can... why do I bother? Republican votes, oh well. I mean, it would be great if they would have some sort of moral awakening. But it's not likely. So on our side, the Democrats have to vote. And they have to talk to their independent friends. And they have to try to get people who don't vote to vote. Because it is going to happen again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. By the way, and thanks to Stockton Larry, a little something from the NRA blog. The NRA blog from 2017, Thursday, December 1st, 2016. 2017 Friends of NRA Gun of the Year, the Daniel Defense V7. No, really, they have a gun of the year.
Friends of NRA has chosen the Daniel Defense V7 as its 2017 gun of the year for their 25th anniversary, marking the first time an AR-15 style rifle has earned the prestigious honor. It's referred to as America's rifle. Most popular rifle in the new United States of America, the greatest country in the history of the world, in the universe, under God forever, amen. An estimated 5 million ARs owned by American sportsmen. AR-15s, competitive shooters, hunters.
Who hunts with one of these? I mean, really. Marty Daniel, founder and CEO of Daniel Defense, we talked about him at the beginning of the program, said,
I'm very glad that Friends of the NRA chose this product to be Gun of the Year, because it finally states that the AR-15 is a mainstream product, a product everyone should have, and a price.
Of course, this was December 1st, 2016, and I don't know if Marty Daniel meant when he said everyone should have, a kid a day after his 18th birthday who would happily have an AR-15-style rifle made by Daniel Defense and use it to turn 19 precious little fourth graders into human ceviche.
And a product everyone should learn to shoot.
Well, Salvatore Ramos certainly did his part in that. Marty.
Congratulations, Wall Street, Randy Radar says. You gave us guns instead of money.
Ralphs notes, the maker of rifle used by Texas gunmen draws fury over incendiary ads. Check out the ad that came out around May the 18th. It shows a little boy, a toddler, wearing a long-sleeve t-shirt labeled Rascal. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. May the 16th. That was Daniel Defense's ad showing a child holding this weapon of war, quoting the Bible, of course. The ad came out on May the 16th. That was the same day that Salvatore Ramos turned 18. Ryan Bussey, whom I mentioned earlier, said, in an industry with 500 companies all making the same product, you have to get ahead somehow. And added, this is how Marty Daniel has grown his business, by being on the edge and wrapping this holy roller thing around it. Well, they're not going to just quietly go away. And I'm sure they have sufficient monies on hand and, I don't know, maybe even insurance coverage to pay for a small army of lawyers when somebody comes along and tries to put them out of business. And Marty Daniel's been thinking about this day, I suppose, because, he realized that, as sickening as this idea is, well, he talked about it after Sandy Hook 10 years ago this December. 2017, he gave an interview to Forbes. The mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary in 2012 drove a lot of sales. That was a horrible event. We don't use these kinds of terrible things to drive sales, but when people see politicians talking about gun control, they have this fear and they go out and buy guns. Then somebody asked him about common sense gun control, and he said, common sense gun control proposals are like closing the gun show loophole. Terms like common sense come from people whose only goal is to take our guns away. Oh, by the way, in case nobody knew, new to me, this is a really effective weapon. No wonder the U.S. military and the British military went to Daniel Defense. Because it was not just used at Uvalde in 2022, 5 years previous. There were 4 semi-automatic rifles manufactured by Daniel Defense in the hotel room in Las Vegas, where a freedom protector used his Second Amendment freedom to slaughter 58 people at a outdoor concert. He also managed to wound 500 more. At that point in time, Daniel Defense put up a post saying, "Our deepest thoughts and prayers are with the victims and families of the Las Vegas incident." And after Rob Elementary, they said, "We are deeply saddened by the tragic events in Texas this week. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the families and community devastated by this evil act while we laugh all the way to the bank." Wait, I added the last part.
Jesus.
Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the New Testament, maybe in the whole Bible. Jesus wept. And wept. Wept and wept. "Put up thy sword into his place, for those that live by the sword shall die by the sword." No one ever quotes that. Why? I mean, that was Jesus talking too. You know, he didn't look at Peter and say, "Cool move, bro. Lop off the other ear now. Keep doing that shit and I won't even make it to the cross. They'll just gig us here where we stand." The Las Vegas incident. That's what Daniel Defense called it, an incident. I don't know, I think an incident is, you know, one of those where the gun just went off. Oh, and by the way, since we started with a question about, you know, what are the police for? Witnesses report that the Missouri State, KCTV says the Missouri State Highway Patrol is investigating an officer-involved shooting from this past Friday. Highway Patrol said officers in the Kansas Police Department spotted a vehicle at Family Dollar that was suspected of being stolen. So, you know how it goes. They were investigating the stolen car at the Family Dollar. Because, you know, you steal the car and then gotta stop at Family Dollar. Need some cheap shit. Well, there was a woman in the car. And thankfully, there was another woman by the name of Shadanja. She whipped out her phone and started videoing. Because the car... "Get out of the car with your hands up! Get out of the car with your hands up! Get on the ground! Get on the ground!" And the woman who's gotten out of the car said, "I can't. I'm pregnant. Get on the ground! Get on the ground!" "I can't, I'm pregnant." Well, she did tell the cops that there was a gun in the car. And she started backing away from the car toward a fence. And the cops drew their weapons, had a bead on her. She didn't pull out a weapon. Had nothing in her hands. And Shadanja narrates. Well, let's go to the video itself.
"They got her in handcuffs while they shot her, y'all. Why they shot her? They got her in handcuffs while they shot her, y'all. Why they shot her? Why they shot her, y'all? They got her in handcuffs. I'm from Louisiana, I'm from Arkansas, but I stopped here to get some gas, y'all, and to get some ice cream for my kids, y'all, and my son just watched this, my 1-year-old son just watched this, my 10-year-old son just watched this, and my 13-year-old son just watched this happen. The man ran, she was finna cooperate, she got scared, she ran down there, they shot her, 1, 2, 3, 4, my son got it on his phone too. They got her in handcuffs while she shot God. I'm a medical assistant, God, it ain't right. I'm a medical assistant, God, it ain't right. My son in the store. My son in the store. My son in the store. My son."
And that's when the cop comes up to try to shut her up and make her stop videoing. Had her hands up, 26-year-old Leona Hale. As of Friday, she was in stable condition, pregnant. I wonder if any Republicans out there will talk about her precious little fetus. Somehow, I don't think this is an abortion problem. Oh, but wait. Oh, wait. It kind of is, because who authored the leaked Dobbs decision? Why, Sammy Bad Breath Alito authored the leaked Dobbs decision. Something is tickling my memory bank. Oh, yeah. That's right. Back when he was on the Circuit Court of Appeals, Sammy Bad Breath authored an opinion that said it was okay for the cops to shoot a fleeing black kid in the back of the head at 30 feet when the kid was running away from them, trying to get away, did not pose a threat, didn't have a gun in his hand, and it's okay for the cops to waste him. The goddess of irony is a terrible, terrible, terrible goddess sometimes. Naturally, the Missouri State Patrol, interim Kansas City Police Chief Joseph Mal, terribly upset.
We never want to be in these type of situations. Not the public, not the police department. Anytime anything happens like this, it's a blight on our community. I want to assure the public that the scene is secure. There's no ongoing threat.
There was never a threat from anybody but the goddamn cops!
We're committed to being 100% transparent, fully cooperating, high control. This is a holiday weekend. It's time for friends and for family, not a time for violence. And with that, I'll hand it over to the Highway Patrol.
Yeah, I'll bet you will, Chief. Not a time for violence. Well, not to put too much of a point on it, but 26-year-old pregnant Leona Hale was not being violent. Now, she apparently was an American who had a gun in her car. Because the NRA wants everybody to have a gun in their car. Well, I mean, okay, not black Americans, but I mean, you know what I mean. It's not a time for violence, then tell the cops to quit being goddamn violent. And then there's a Missouri State Highway Patrol dude.
Didn't occur that long ago. The information we have now is fairly accurate.
You say you found a gun. Was the female armed, sir?
So, yes, I did say a gun was located, which was a suspect gun, okay? Now, how the sequence of events transpired, there's going to be intricate details that has to be followed up on, right?
Naturally.
So, if any video cameras available, if any body cameras available, if any witnesses other than the officers themselves are available, everything's going to be analyzed and scrutinized by our investigators, as it is always. Okay?
So, just to understand.
Now, this is problematic because Leona Hale was pregnant. Hopefully still is. So, the cops who pumped 4 rounds into her, or cop, what is his legal status relative to the fetus? Because we all know, just ask any Republican, fetuses are blameless. You know, when we talk about maybe mommy doesn't want to have her rapist baby, the Republicans all say the fetus is blameless. When we talk about the fact that the 13-year-old is pregnant because her daddy went all Bob Ewell on her, they always talk about how it's not the fetus's fault. What about this? Oh, let's see. What do they say over there on that Joe Rogan Pink Shrek program? Just asking questions. Yeah. Oh, and one last thing before I wrap things up, because we're up to 95 degrees in the studio now, and I better go put more ice and water in the water bottle, or I'm going to dehydrate. Plus, I got the briskets to check on. But no, just one last thing to think about. And it's an emotional thing. But it is the kind of thing that I think about. That I wonder about. I mean, the cop who shot Leona Hale, he's on a paid vacation. And the prosecutor's never going to present any charges. There won't be any indictments. And he'll go on copping. But I wonder about the people who work at Daniel Defense. I would not want to be in that position because I could not... But never mind me. When you work for a company like Daniel Defense, do you just compartmentalize what you're doing behind a sort of a wall of denial? Do you internalize the propaganda of the corporation
that what you're doing is defending freedom and you're making the things we need to defend freedom in America?
Is that what you do? Do people who work for gun manufacturers ever get PTSD? You know, that Daniel Defense rifle that Salvatore Ramos used has a fucking serial number. And that serial number can be tracked back to the exact date and time of the manufacture. And so somebody on the production line at Daniel Defense is going to know that they put the receiver in that. They're going to know that they're the ones who attached the barrel. That they put on the pistol grip. I mean, I don't think it's like Santa's Workshop where everybody's sitting there working on an individual gun. It's an assembly line of bloody death. And so one person does the stock, and another one does the forearm, and another one does the receiver, and another one does the... You get the idea. Trigger assembly. If you're the man or woman who does the trigger assembly, do you think, in the 6 days since last Tuesday, that person has thought about what they do for a living at all? Of course, probably everybody who works at Daniel Defense votes Republican. And with a corporate head like Marty Daniel, they probably are absolutely soaking in the paranoid culture of the gun manufacturing industry. I wonder if the people who built that rifle shed even a single tear. My guess, and I'm intellectually honest enough to at least state that, you know, it's a guess. My guess is no. No, not even a single tear.
We're just here defending freedom by supporting our Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms in case we have to rise up against the jackbooted thugs of our jackbooted government putting their jackboots down on our freedom-loving necks next to our tattoo that says, "Only God can judge me."
Yeah. Thank you. Got a note. In the name of our children, $25 from Women Standing. Thank you. Thank you. So that goes toward the $100 no-deal challenge from Joey. Thank you. $75 more, and that'll be met. Thank you, Jude. Robin Deere, a searingly focused program as usual. You handle our traumas with keen insight, painful to one's awakened consciousness. One that you're called to do. Rest, dear heart. Well, you know, rest takes different forms. I freely confess that yesterday I tried to put everything out of my mind and just worked in the yard and got my pale pink hide righteously burned. And I was focused on how hot it was, how good this barbecue is going to be, how wonderful it'll be to see people I've never met before, but know through this program over the 18 or more years that we've been on the air. I deliberately did not look at a single news story yesterday. Because I didn't feel like I could. And I know that's kind of wimpy on my part. But I felt like I just had to disconnect for a little bit. But, there'll still be plenty to talk about. Oh, yeah, plenty. It is Moran Monday, though. And being Moran Monday, who better to, than Alan West? Remember Alan West? At the NRA convention, Alan West tried to run a little coup. Heard groups of pro-Castro pigeons drinking in bars saying, coup, coup. Thank you, Bill Hicks. Alan West tried to run a coup to get rid of Wayne the Peter. They had a board meeting, 54 NRA board members voting to keep Wayne the Peter, 7 members trying to hide from any responsibility that voting for Wayne the Peter might have, and only one member voted for Alan West. Yeah, he tried to be chair of the Texas GOP. That lasted about 11 months. Tried to primary Greg Asbot, because Greg Asbot put out some extremely weak and extremely temporary COVID-19 emergency orders. Alan West is a one-man Washington Generals. He really is. And thank God for him, because we needed some obvious Moran. And Alan West obliged. And apparently the Uvalde police chief made it onto the Uvalde City Council. But his swearing in got delayed in the wake of the shooting and his monstrous fuck-ups. Why is that man still a cop? Yeah, well. And by the way, once again, a reminder of how fundamentally decent Joe Biden is. He and Dr. Jill Biden, the First Lady, went down to Uvalde. And there wasn't any big speechifying.
It was quiet. He went to Mass. He met with the shattered remains of those children's families. Children weren't the only thing broken to pieces. The families were too. And he was just dignified. He was decent. In an indecent time, over an indecent thing. So much indecency. Oh, and since we won't be having a prayer meeting Wednesday, this one deserves mention. You know, the Roman Catholic Church is so extremely problematic, misogynistic all the way down to its toenails. It's princes of the church running around in lace frocks, House of Whoville hats. There's a great little passage in the new, and by the way, the new ContraPoints video is called The Hunger. And there's a passage there where the two debating characters, Justine and Virginia. Justine says, making a reference to, divines, said, well, they run around in dresses, too. The only difference is the people we have sex with are actually adults. To which Virginia, the deeply religious woman, replies, wait a minute, that's Catholic, not Christians. I got a huge giggle out of that. Not because I agree, but because that is, that's actually something that your Southern Baptist and Church of Christ types say all the time if they think they're only talking amongst themselves. But for all the problems, I gotta give props to that wacky old Jesuit Pope Frank. Because when he punks you, you stay punked. And so it was that this past Sunday, Pope Frank elevated to Cardinal the Bishop of San Diego, Robert W. McElroy. Now, we've talked about this in the past week or so. You know, there's a feud going on. Well, no, it's not really a feud. Another guy named Salvatore, this one is Salvatore Cordileone, declared that Nancy Pelosi must not have communion. And, actually, Archbishop Salvatore Cordileone has more seniority than does Bishop Robert McElroy, yet Pope Frank elevated Robert McElroy to the College of Cardinals. Instead of Cordileone. Curiously, Bishop McElroy had previously said that withholding communion was not the greatest idea. He's writing for the Jesuit magazine America. Bishop McElroy said, "The proposal to exclude pro-choice Catholic political leaders from the Eucharist is the wrong step. It will bring tremendously destructive consequences, not because of what it says about abortion, but because of what it says about the Eucharist. You know, that it's a weapon, that it's a tool." And so Pope Frank made him a cardinal. He's going to get the stunning red dress now.
And I understand the appeal. I'd never worn red much. But some people have told me it really works for me now. And so I wore a red dress last week, and I gotta admit, it was cute. I liked it. So I can understand why Catholic cardinals would want the red dress. Because you got to get the red dress before you can get the white dress. He punked the shit out of Archbishop Corleone. And Archbishop Corleone can't do, and I choose my words carefully in this instance, dick about it. Die mad, Archbishop. Die mad. And just one last thing, and we'll at least have about a 2-hour program in. There is a Roman Catholic Church in Brooklyn. Now, remember, Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of their life was poor as Job's turkey, brokered in the Ten Commandments. And so one of the great controversies that has raged throughout the history of Holy Mother Church is, why y'all claiming you worship a broke-ass Palestinian day laborer when y'all rich as shit? Well, over this Memorial Day weekend, somebody broke into St. Augustine Roman Catholic Church in Park Slope, Brooklyn, cut through a metal case protecting a tabernacle. The tabernacle is made of pure 18-karat gold. It goes back to the 1890s. And they boosted the tabernacle, the $2 million tabernacle, and walked out through the front door. What do cops do again? Anybody? Bueller? A clue? Anything? And so the cops are desperately looking for the stolen tabernacle. And somewhere along the way, they decapitated an angel that was standing beside the tabernacle. Probably had to get the angel out of the way to get the tabernacle out of the tabernacle place. Father Frank Ternino, pastor at St. Augustine, gave a statement and said,
this is devastating, as the tabernacle is the central focus of our church outside of worship, holding the body of Christ, the Eucharist, which is delivered to the sick and the homebound. To know that a burglar entered the most sacred space of our beautiful church and took great pains to cut into a security system is a heinous act of disrespect.
Imagine how women feel about what you want to do to their bodies, Father. Why does a Roman Catholic Church in Brooklyn have a $2 million tabernacle when I'm pretty sure there are people in Brooklyn and the rest of the five boroughs who don't have a place to lay their head at night? You know, like the Son of Man? When there are people going to sleep hungry in Brooklyn, but they get a $2 million 18-karat gold tabernacle. Oh, well. And here's a question. If they catch dude, I mean, I'm assuming it's a dude, but, you know, maybe not. But if they catch dude, will the church say, "Hey, we follow a brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress every day of their life, and he said we were supposed to forgive everybody, so turn him loose. We forgive him." No, never in a million years. Sorry. And a note coming in from Don in West Tennistan. I haven't heard anyone address where he got the money to purchase the weapons ammunition of Daniel Defense. Aren't they top of the line? Oh, they can be expensive. But he worked a job. and if you are dedicated to the proposition that you are going to shoot up a school or commit some sort of mayhem, you know, you're not going to waste it on Wendy's. And like I said last Friday night when Roger raised this issue, this kid has been had been a nightmare in the wings since at least eighth grade. He was bullied. He was tormented. He had a lisp, and he was absolutely made miserable over that. And if you're motivated and you're a little saver, you too can have ammunition and Daniel defense weapon. I mean, the bullets aren't that expensive. Maybe that's one of the problems. Tax the goddamn bullets. No, never mind. And we'll give Scott the last word. Long but worth sharing on the program, since the massacre of 19 school children and two teachers in Uvalde, Texas this week, I've tried to avoid watching a lot of the news coverage in its wake. One thing I did see today was mention of lockdown drills that had been conducted at the school. About the only preparations we did at school in the 1960s was when I was a youngster were fire drills. I recall an after-lunch prayer we used to recite when I was in second grade. Not the words of the prayer itself, but the stated concept. It apparently was an intercessory prayer on behalf of the poor souls who lived in the Soviet Union and in Eastern European countries under communist control. We seemingly didn't give two fucks about the folks in Red China or Cuba, since they weren't directly mentioned. There was one person that was singled out in the prayer whose name I can't remember either. It was an elderly cardinal, as I recall, who was either being harassed or jailed in either Hungary or Yugoslavia. The prayer also implored the Almighty or Blessed Mother Mary or somebody to keep us all safe should the Ruskies lob a nuke or two our way. This was not an unreasonable concern in 1962. It was a notion made tangible in my little 7-year-old brain after I'd seen a map in the World Book Encyclopedia. It depicted the concentric rings of destruction and death that might occur if the Soviets dropped a big one onto the grounds of the Washington Monument. I'll pause here to note, this is some pretty heavy stuff to be unloading onto a kid just trying to digest his lunch and clear his head for another boring afternoon session. Well, amen to that, Scott. During the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis, my mother was 6 months pregnant with me. And I often wonder what that kind of existential dread and trauma does to a woman who's 6 months pregnant. The map I saw, Scott continues, is not the one in this post, but it's quite similar. Keep in mind, as I was recalling this scary prayer standing next to my little desk, I and it were just 4 miles south of D.C., and definitely within the toast zone. Vaporization zone would be more like it. In October of 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis unfolded. At the time, I had an afternoon newspaper route, and I vividly remember the headlines on those front pages in those dark and uncertain days. About a year later, more frightening headlines, JFK shot in Dallas. Looking back at the events of this week and at those of my youth, I'm hard-pressed to say exactly which kids have it worse. I'm thankful that nobody ever stormed my classroom with a weapon of war and a handful of derangement and madness, headful of derangement and madness. I'm also glad that most of our leaders back then had sense enough to not compound our problems by being complete asshats, saying things that misstated the issues and made things worse. In more than a few ways, we're pretty much leaving the future grown-ups of this country a real clusterfuck of a mess. I'll close with a word to the kids. If you somehow make it to my age, I hope you can look back and actually see that you've done a much better job than we did. And if Facebook still exists, please post a full report about how you did, some happier maps, and a few words of encouragement to the second graders of your era. Well, damn, Scott. Look at you. Yeah, there's the map. Gold bullseye, green ring, red ring, blue ring, gold ring. The edge of the gold ring is on Fredericksburg. Wow. Everything is on the internet. So that's it. Amazingly enough, we made it almost 2 hours. And, well, I'll see what I can do about tomorrow. Depends on how the cooking goes. God, there's so much to do. I'm a little overwhelmed. But it's going to be so good and so fun to meet everybody beginning Thursday night. One of our attendees is already in the area. And this Memorial Day weekend has been crazy busy here. And I think the cops have collected a lot of taxes. So we do know they do that. So thanks, everybody. Remember, there's $75 to go if you're listening to the podcast. There's $75 to go on Joey and Giraffe's challenge. So that gets us... That'll get us pretty close to done for May. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little ongoing dialogue in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Hey, remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 6 p.m. Well, I don't know. I don't know if he's working tonight. Well, anyway, check it out. Maybe there is. Check out headon.live. If it's there, it's there. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice. You know, maybe this evening we were talking about, you know, who's laid down their life for what. Maybe reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask him to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. This second session of this Congress is racing past us, and it would be great if we could finally get a vote on this bill. It means the world to Appalachia. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your mask, especially when you're in places like Wally World, any crowded event area. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And, you know, for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, you know, we're having school shootings because they took God out of the schools, avoid that guy, avoid that old crank like the plague. Crank kills. Like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.